You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Lamb Goat presents the Van Flip Podcast.
What is up? Welcome back to another episode of Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast. And I am here today with Stu Douglas and Andrew Newfled.
Newfled, yes, Andrew Newfled. Stu Douglas and Andrew Newfled.
Correct.
If you're familiar with the podcast, yeah, it should be good to go. The audio should be good to go. If not, then sorry.
A couple of people that have actually flipped a van.
No, I was going to say, yeah. In the last month, I think, they're the second of the guests to have been in a van flip.
I mean, 20 years of rocking, you're going to
do it once or twice, right? Yeah, I mean, you brought it up, so do you want to talk about that?
I mean, whatever. We were on Comeback Kid was on tour with Misery Signals. Were you in the band yet?
No.
I rode with Gravemaker randomly, me and another friend, and then just flipped a van in Canada, and it's a memory we'll always have, and we have a song about it and shit. Yeah.
You're playing it tonight.
I think.
I don't want to play it. Yeah,
it's a shorter set, so hopefully it makes it in there.
You know, I look up the set list.
Yeah.
Beforehand. Yeah, I'm addicted to that, so I look up set lists. But it wasn't just a little car accident. You had three or four flips.
Yeah, my friend was underneath the van for an hour, and it was very crazy. And yeah, affected him for mentally and physically for the rest of his life. So.
Well, I'm sure it still affects you a little bit mentally. Yeah.
Totally. I mean, but just happy to be here. And
of course. Because I read about that, because I didn't really remember the details, but when I read about it recently, I read that he was trapped under for sure.
Just imagine having your knee up to your chest and a whole van crushing you, and you're in shotgun. So all I saw was, you know, his chest up, and I'm just holding his hand, and he's being crushed by the van, and it hurts so bad.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the... That's what happened.
Yeah.
It was a while back. It was 15 years ago or something.
Scary. Well, then obviously Misery Signals had theirs too, but...
Misery Signals came out of the ashes of something like that, yeah. But it was way more tragic, right? It was... There's some of their friends
loss
died
of life, yeah. Which everyone knows. The year in
June. Anyone who watches Lamb Goat knows.
Yeah, that's true. So you guys have been pounding the pavement in the last couple of years, I feel like. Just you're incessantly on tour. And this year, you're doing I don't want to call it a world tour, but you're going all over the world, basically.
Yeah, we've been super busy. I mean, I think post-pandemic, we were really just raring to go, and a lot of opportunities came up, and we definitely kept super busy through 21 and 22, and even this year has been really, really hectic. And it's weird because it's one of those things where we don't plan to have a crazy year, or we're oh fuck, this year's gonna be chill, and the next thing you know it's fuck, there's something every month. This year was kind of odd because we had a big chunk of the summer off, which we don't usually have, but then already looking at next year it's it's gonna be fucking chaos again.
Yeah, I kept seeing the tour date emails come through for Lamb Goat, and I'm oh my god, they're back at it again. Dude, they're never gonna be rested. Which I'm sure you all are tired at this particular point.
Dude, hell yeah.
They would be mad if we didn't have tours booked. So
who's they? The fans?
The band.
Oh, the band?
Yeah, I mean, what the fuck? What else
Andrew,
am I gonna do?
What's going That's on true, with the fucking yeah. Europe tour?
Yeah, I did. We talked briefly at Furnace Fest, Stu, when you guys played last, about what you do in your off time outside of the band, which was a surprise to me, because usually some people do, other side jobs or their businesses or whatever, but this is your main
gig. Yeah, it's my main hustle, yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, it is.
And next year... Think. I mean,
are we leaking that? Are we leaking that right now?
I was planning not to, but
Stu's gonna be a busy boy in 2024.
Yeah, if we can not have that part, I don't know how you edit this shit. If it's impossible,
oh, it's not announced yet.
We'll edit.
No, of course it's not.
We'll edit it, but it's good to know.
Sorry. Now we're doing.
And we're back.
Lamb Goat official.
And we're back. No, so yeah, they're busy. That's all we'll say.
Yeah, and next year is going to be busy as hell, too.
Nice.
Comeback Kid's got tons of shit. There is Mid-Six stuff we're going to do next year, so.
Awesome. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Do we want to keep that in, or just?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, we'll keep that
it's
part
not
in.
That important.
It's not that important. What about Figure Four? What we got going on in the pipeline?
Yeah, that's kind of it. We would like to maybe do a final show in Canada, in Winnipeg, where it all started, but, and there's all the members live all over, and there's fantasies of, oh, we can play like Mexico or, you know, this place or that. But I think the vibe is like, let's just do one final show and maybe like try to get a couple grand each.
Yeah. It goes a long way. You know what I mean? It goes a long way. Is that something like, and because Figure Four has been gone for so long, is it, you know, and I don't know if the allure or whatever about it is, you know, makes people more drawn to it, but similar to like Misery Signals, because, you know, you guys were, you know, not active for a long period of time. Like, does that help with like booking and stuff like that? It's got to be like the interest level is peaking at this particular point for certain projects.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I definitely feel like having the less is more approach at this point in the band's career is definitely good. I couldn't imagine like, you know, Misery Signals or Figure Four, like on a schedule that like Comeback Kid's on, you know, it just wouldn't happen.
It's the opposite for Comeback Kid.
Figure Four has done some like reunion type things because we never broke up, but it's just like, it's a few guys moshing. It's like three guys moshing and
yeah,
it's not really like the, like, you know, end all be all comeback or anything.
Yeah. I just saw Botch play in Atlanta last week, and like similar, there was a couple younger dudes moshing, but most of us were just like hanging out watching, and you know, there's a barrier and they're like, what the fuck, there's no stage dive and everything. So
do the dudes still play in Minus the Barrier or?
I know, yeah, I think he's part of it still. I mean, he's doing a bunch of, yeah, I think it's David does a bunch of other shit too, so yeah, I can't guarantee or confirm if he's still playing there, you know what I mean? I don't pay attention to all the bands.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's another example where it's cool. It's like, I mean, obviously Botch was a band that I think was officially broken up.
Right? Yeah, oh yeah, for like, so, MIA forever.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's sick when you can come back and play a record from fucking what night? When is we?
97, 98?
Roman's record is what, like, 98?
There was, well, I know for sure, though, the EP was like after breakup 2002. That's the only one I know concrete for sure.
Either way.
But everything is before that.
It's crazy to see that they can do that and like tons of people come out.
Oh, yeah.
Figure Four played with Botch in a basement in Portland.
Sick.
In like 2000 or some shit.
Nice.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, because it is Northwest up there, so you guys are probably in the same circles running around.
We're more middle Canada. Also, we played with Ink and Dagger in Minneapolis. Some unlikely bands that maybe we played with. Mm. But
was Eric Wareheim playing bass for Ink and Dagger?
Was that?
Is that the band that he played bass in? Eric Wareheim?
I don't know why you're looking at me.
I feel like that's like something everybody knows.
I mean, I know a lot of things, but there's like information in and out.
Unless I'm screwing it up. I think he was in Ink and Dagger. I might be wrong.
How is mid-Canada for like music and just in general? Because I'm very familiar with like Quebec and Ottawa, because that's where, like, I have family that live there. Right. So I've gone up and down for my whole life.
Yes, but I'm from Winnipeg, and I always say, like I've said this many times, if you want to live in a cool city in Canada, you have to live in Toronto or Vancouver. So I live in Toronto. These guys live in Vancouver.
Hmm.
Jeremy, the other original member of Comeback Kid, he lives in Winnipeg, and he's kind of just holding it down for the family and shit, but it's so fucking cold, and, you know, there's some great local bands and definitely, like, cool bars and stuff like that, but, yeah, it's a little desolate, my friend.
Which I could have imagined, to be honest with you. So how was, like, starting out there, then? Like, is it just a grind? Because, like,
we'd go to Minneapolis all the time. Like, that's an 8-hour drive. You know, when I was 17, I went to go to Crazy Fest in Louisville. Like, 16 hours, no problem.
Mm.
Once you go on tour, you just got to go. Like, there's no, like, weekends. Like, you know what I mean?
We're pro now. We got to go.
No, we got to go for a minute. So, and that's kind of like, I think a lot of Canadian bands, once you get on tour, like, at least do the week to make it worth your while.
But, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like... But we had Propaganda. That was our kind of like, you know, that's who we looked up to. I Spy, stuff like that. But and they taught us our politics and stuff, like kind of turned us away from like the religion stuff too, and like just showed us a smarter way of thinking about the world. And
interesting.
That's how punk kind of.
Yeah. Hey, what's up? It's Lurk. Looks like you're enjoying the podcast. If you are and you like what we're doing here on the Van Flip, why don't you go ahead and pause this, give us a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to. If you want to find out any information on your favorite bands from the hardcore and metal scene, visit lambgoat.com. And to stay in the loop about everything that we post on lambgoat.com, make sure you like us on Facebook and you head over to Twitter and Instagram and follow us at lambgoat. Are you a full-grown adult and you also have a TikTok account? Congrats. Follow us on TikTok as well. You can find us under the username lambgoat.com. That's spelled out D-O-T-C-O-M. Head over to our YouTube channel where we have all of these podcasts in video format, plus a lot more content that you should check out. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and you hit that notification bell so you're always alerted when we upload new content. And last but not least, if you want to follow me, Lurk, the host of the show, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at LurkCity. And as always, if you need any of the links that pertain to the artists on the show today, Lambgoat, or myself, you can always find them in the description. Thanks for listening to this message. Now let's get back to the show. It's an ongoing saga where you, especially like for Lambgoat, where like people start out in bands that are labeled as Christian bands. Like, you know,
it's every an American band. Thing, I think, right?
Is it? I don't know. But like, because there's certain bands that are obviously Christian bands and they stay Christian bands or whatever. But there's a lot of like certain bands that don't say anything if it helps or hurts them or whatever. But they also don't say anything if they switch the vibe. You know what I mean? So 10 years later, you're like, is so-and-so still a Christian band? You're like, they haven't been a Christian band in like 15 years, dude.
Was Comeback Kid a Christian band when you started, though?
Because we all, Figure Four clearly was. It was on, you know.
Yeah, Figure Four was. And then I was kind of like turning once I turned around 20, because Figure Four was a teenager band, right?
Right.
So, yeah. So
is it traveling the world and opening your eyes a little bit more on
the real shit? Comeback Kid started, and then we sent our demo to like Death Wish and like Bridge Nine and everybody, and no one wanted it. And then Jason from Facedown, who was he was offering to put it out, and then we're like, and I think did we tell him we were kind of like into it? I don't know.
You wouldn't be the first person to say that on this podcast that they lied about it. Either to Solid State or somebody else, man.
Whatever. He did good for us. He still does good for us. Bless his heart. And that gave us the like forever like
the jump.
Yeah, or the like kind of like the label as that, you know.
Yeah. Dope. There's a question I've been wanting to ask you for quite some time, but you don't have to talk about it if you don't want to. But like when we chatted briefly at Furnace Fest, you had like been robbed at your hotel room, and I don't even know if anyone's talked about this or anything like that. But I looked it up, couldn't find the information on it, so I'm curious because you told me briefly like you were in the room and some guy comes in and steals your wallet and some stuff.
All right, so this is what happened.
It's time to clear the air, man.
All right, so this is what happened.
I lost my wallet.
So pretty much, I was hanging out. I was going to go out, I think, after the show. Like, we were kind of riding on a high. I was hanging out in my room, on the phone, doing whatever. Maybe the door was, like, left ajar. It was, like, one of those, like, outside, like, Motel 6. Jeremy always books these, like, sketchy hotels because they're cheap. But, yeah, I guess the door was kind of ajar. And I fell asleep in my bed, clothes on. And then I just woke up, and there was a dude there with my bag, and I kind of like couldn't. I kind of came to and saw him. He didn't look very. He looked scared. You know, you're just waking up.
Grog. Oh,
shit, that's my bag. So I just go grab my bag, face to face. I see the fear in his eyes. I'm like, I'm just so panicky. I'm like, I need this bag. Somehow I get it. He runs out, and then I look around. I'm like, oh shit, where's my fucking phone?
Mm.
So the phone wasn't there. He'd hit up a lot of people after the fact and like tried to get some money from people on like PayPal and shit like that.
All right, as you?
What's that?
Or as you or as in return
like,
for the
finna give me some money, whatever. Like, yeah, it sucked, dude. It was the worst, and I was like pretty scarred about it for a while. And I showed up to the next day to like the Alabama airport, like pretty in shambles, and like people took care of me, and like I was just going to New York and. I just, you know, when you just have a computer to kind of work everything out,
Wild though. Cause I think, I don't want to put anyone on blast cause they may not want to know it, but someone else this past year was also robbed.
Oh, no way. Really?
I think it might've been at the festival, but yeah.
Damn.
The crazy thing about
not it, robbed. It was just like their stuff went missing. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I got like all the information on this guy too. Like he's on his Instagram. Like he's packing. Like I'm just lucky that he didn't pull out a gun and like shoot me. Like I'm Canadian. I don't know anything about this shit. So
yeah,
you like tracked him down through Cash App, right?
Oh wow. So someone did send him money. Yeah. Some idiot. Sorry. And so we found out that through that, and yeah, it's like he's just like very loose. And the cops called me and said, hey, if you want to charge this person, you just have to like come to Alabama. I'm like, oh.
That's not happening. Where were you at this
point,
Toronto?
And then he sold my phone on Facebook Marketplace, and the guy who bought it got in touch with me, and then I bought the phone from him, and it's still there. Like, so I have the phone.
Oh, wow.
but I haven't like connected it yet because I got a new phone from insurance and I don't really know.
All your stuff's on it, like all your photos and stuff.
Yeah.
It's still active.
Maybe there's some new photos on there.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. The guy's all sitting there with his gun and shit like that, naked. Maybe you never know.
Shobin Bout That is his Instagram name.
Oh, damn.
Check him out.
Yeah.
Send him a little message. But be careful if you're in the Birmingham area.
But, yeah, I got dragged for that. And I shouldn't have made a post about it. I don't know why I did. I was just kind of...
Why would you have gotten dragged? I don't know. Why, what was the sentiment
oh,
of
like, oh,
the Lamb Goat Cup? Well, they were not.
Yeah, oh, like, come on. There's like a thousand...
No, it's a classic, though. Yeah. It's like it's, it's a thing now.
No, yeah, for sure. But there weren't any on that story because we didn't post about that
like the escort. Like, I had a male escort in my room or something like that. Like
every time we would, like, get posted on Lamb Goat, it would be like, wallets and phones are stoked. Like,
yeah, that's good.
And for months to follow.
That's good.
How does it feel having the most... Yep. Draggy, like,
it's
like,
fun.
Like comments board on the internet.
I mean,
for hardcore.
So again, I didn't like start that part of it up, right? So like, that's just a long going, ongoing situation that Alex created. Which, you know, Lamb Goat was created in a time where the internet was very anonymous, right? Mm-hmm. And like, that's just something that's kind of held for Lamb Goat. But like, and as you probably know, and you probably know Stu, because you guys both visit the website on a, you know, Stu on a daily
every
basis.
Day for the last 20 plus years.
You know, some of your friends are posting about you on
100%.
There. Yeah. So it's kind of like, yes, there are dickheads out there, but your buddies are also clowning you too. And like, we don't want to lose that part. It's not so much a free speech part. I mean, it is technically and a little bit of it, but we have guidelines, you know, there's moderators and filters and all sorts of shit. But like, there's 100-something fucking thousand pages on there, and anyone can comment anonymously at any time on any one of those pages. So it's not.
What, one thing I've always been curious about is if someone posts anonymously, can you actually see who it is, though, still?
So, it depends. I'll tell you offline.
All right.
I'll tell you off of this. But, okay. Yeah, I'll definitely tell you about that. But it definitely depends.
All right. IP address.
It
depends. That's what I'm saying,
it depends.
Dude.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, that whole thing just, like, added to the... I mean, looking back at it, like, adds to the lore of the whole thing. And it's fun and sucked that it happened. It sucked, but... I've been through worse.
For a minute, I wanted to do a wallets and phones are stoked T-shirt, like on the back.
You know? Maybe we can collab that together and we'll do it. You know what I mean?
Who's on the Lamb Goat shirt that you gave me? Me?
No, it's Trevor from Unearth. This is a photo that we've taken.
Me and Trevor both had long hair and we're both very buff. So you know,
yeah.
couple ripped guys.
So yeah, we just kind of we used one of our own photos instead of like you know,
nice
whatever. So that's what it is. But damn, you fucking threw me off, Andrew. I was about to ask you a follow-up to that.
It's all good. It's all good.
I'm going to move on. Anyway, what is, like, the end... Because you guys have been running it for so fucking long at this point. Comeback Kid, that is. What's the end goal or, like, end result that you guys want to accomplish?
We're doing it. We're 25-year anniversary is going to be 2025. We're going to do, like, Wake the Dead. 20-year anniversary and 25 of the band. And like that will definitely be like a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a huge benchmark for any band, I think.
Well, shit, 20 years is a fucking benchmark for hardcore bands. 15 years, you know what I mean?
Dude, so we're, for sure. Yeah, we're trying to get, like, you know, our favorite, like, legendary bands up to Canada. I think that's, like, the best thing we've done is, like, we brought in, like, the best bands to Canada that would never be in, like, Winnipeg or, like, Edmonton or something like that, you know? Like...
Are there still home shows for you, Winnipeg, or do you guys consider Vancouver, Toronto home shows too now?
When we go across Canada, I feel like there's at least six hometown shows for us.
Edmonton, it feels like a hometown.
The backstage is busy.
Nice.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you guys up there. I mean, and I try to see like some of my favorite bands at home. You know what I mean? So I've done a fair bit of traveling doing that. So, you know, hopefully you still got a couple more years in you and I can make my way all the way up there.
Where are you from?
I'm from here. Okay. But my family's from Gatineau, right outside of Ottawa.
Oh, shit. You're Canadian.
Yeah, I'm half Canadian. I'm a dual citizen for sure.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I, like, gravitate heavily towards Canadian bands.
It's nice.
If I can add to what Andrew is saying, though, you know, like, what's the end goal or whatever we're doing with the band, you know, like, as he said, we're doing it. Comeback Kid is this... I don't really see a ceiling on Comeback Kid, and, I mean, people watching might laugh at that, but it's like, you know, the band's been going for almost 25 years, and, like...
Mm-hmm.
Still want to do more records, still want to do more tours. So, you know, there is no, like, real, like, end goal at this point. I think the goal in general is just to
maintain,
keep up and keep going, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because the audience for this kind of music is just continually growing.
Dude, and it's crazy. It ebbs and flows, for sure, you know?
Oh, yeah, like, I think it's at a big ebb right now, or whatever the peak. Yeah. It's at a peak.
Big ebb.
And and that's cool, you know. And thankfully, we're a band that's been able to like check our egos and just roll with the punches, you know. Like, we've had a couple dark years, we've had some really great years, so it's like, just want to keep doing it, I guess.
Same kind of similar question, but where do you see like hardcore going? Like, because you guys have come from fucking early days of hardcore and to where it's going now, where you have bands doing like collabs with Taco Bell and you know, I mean, like stuff like that. I mean, that's funny a little bit, but Turnstile is pushing us out there further and further.
It's gonna get bigger, you know. But it's like, even like in our time, it's gotten big, it's gotten smaller, it's gotten big, it's gotten smaller, and it's like, this is the biggest, at least in my, you know, lifespan of playing in metal and hardcore and punk bands and stuff. So yeah, I mean, I think it'll just only get bigger. It's at a time now where it feels like, you know, Turnstile is like the next Nirvana or something, you know, like, maybe that's a crazy statement, but you know what I'm saying. It's
getting
like
dragged.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah, yeah. You know? No, I mean, again, it's like, because that's a band that Jay's liked for quite some time prior to me being into them and stuff. But, you know, it's wild to see where they start, and then now they're fucking doing whatever. I mean, I saw them after the Furnace Fest. I think the first Furnace Fest in 21, they played with, like, the fucking rap band, Suicide Boys, and their, like, tour or whatever. They were, like, the only hardcore band. The sound was garbage because, obviously, the show is tuned a little differently for other acts. But, you know, they did that. They did Rolling Loud. It's kind of crazy how they're, like, transcending. So
it's pretty awesome.
Can hardcore get too big?
I mean, my take on all that, I was just, like, for a little bit when the pandemic was happening, I'm like, oh, it's all of them. And then I was pleased to see, like, shortly after that, like, you know, all these other bands getting the limelight quickly after that.
Yeah, like a little hunger. Like, everyone was hungry for it.
You know, Flat Spot coming out with, like, a million awesome bands, and, like, just, like, a lot of bands were really getting some, like, shine, and that's where it's at now. And now there's a bunch of huge bands that, like, kind of on par with us, or even, you know, and, like, Comeback Kid, like, I think I heard, like, Jamie from Hatebreed, like, talk about this on the podcast, but, like, yeah, like, I feel like, I was talking about this the other day, like, we're cruising altitude, like, we're,
like, maintaining.
No, we got, and we're, like, we're not going up and down, like, we've been pretty much a pretty similar size room band since we, like, for the last 15, 20 years, and it's kind of, it's cool.
But, obviously, if you had the opportunity, would that be something that you'd want to do, bigger, larger rooms, whether it's headlining or obviously
Hell yeah.
support?
For sure.
Fuck yeah.
You don't want to play smaller shows?
No. I mean, I'm happy to, like, you know, I love playing small shows. I love playing huge shows. Like,
yeah.
You know?
I just didn't know if, like, that's something that Comeback Kid seeks out. Like, do you guys want to, like, do big festivals?
Do we think the next record's going to be the one? Like, no.
Next record's really going to do it for us. No, but, like, I mean, we do get to play a lot of huge festivals in Europe and shit. And, like, obviously, like, you know, when you're playing those festivals, it's like, this isn't for us, but there's a lot of people that are just there and happen to be watching, and it's sick.
Yeah.
So obviously you feel like a huge rock star, and it's super fun and cool. And then, you know, playing a tiny show where there's 100 people in a tight room, that's fucking awesome too. So I think they both have merit, you know?
Yeah. Was it always hard kind of juggling multiple bands?
Yeah.
In general, it's a question for both. I mean,
you know, 2020 was going to be, like, the most psycho fucking year of my life.
Oh, yeah.
And in ways, I'm, like, so happy that the world shut down, because it was just going to be so chaotic. Like, I knew, like, 6 months into the year, I was just going to be, like, pulling my hair out or fucking dying, you know? So, it's hard to balance two bands. And especially, like, when the new Mystics record came out, we were really going to push hard on it. And it was really, like, nuts to butts, like, finishing a Comeback Kid tour, starting a Mystics tour, finishing that tour, starting a Comeback Kid tour. Like, it was going
to
be really, really, really tight. And so thankfully I didn't actually ever have to like navigate
go
that and
it,
go
yeah.
through it. But we've done, like, a couple tours where, like, just out of convenience, like Misery Signals and Comeback Kid have done some tours together. We've gone to Japan. We've done, like, some North American stuff, and that's fun. It's cool. Fills your day up.
I feel like that would be, like, ideal. I mean, obviously, you probably get tired of playing the same bill every day, but I mean.
But Stu likes playing with Comeback Kid more.
Yeah, it's true. It's a fact.
Yeah, well. So, you guys had Heavy Steps not that long ago. Mm-hmm. How long until maybe, you know, a follow-up to Heavy Steps?
Not that long. I don't know.
We got a single coming out next month.
Oh, cool.
And EP coming out in March, I would say.
Nice.
So
what goes into like writing new music at this particular point? Because you guys
totally I wouldn't say that so the new EP is going to be like, it's not our like new sound or anything, but it's songs that we've been working on for a minute and then we kind of just finished up. It's kind of some, it's a little maybe self-indulgent, but yeah.
When you say self-indulgent, I'm sorry, when you say that, what do you mean? Like adding some of your guilty pleasures in there?
Yeah, there's songs that like we like to like we like to play and listen to.
Are we talking about covers here? Or
No.
Okay, just making it clear.
No, I just think like if somebody's like, I love Turn It Around and Wake the Dead, and then they're like, oh, Come Back, It has a new EP, and they go listen to this, they're going to be like, what the fuck is this?
But that's been the case. I mean, like, I mean, that's been the case for the last 20-something years anyway.
Sure.
Every record's not going to be Turn Around or Wake the Dead. You know what I mean?
Like Andrew said, this EP isn't like, this isn't like, it's not our new sound. It was just like some songs that were fun that we wanted to release.
Are they things that are like, didn't make step, you know, Heavy Steps?
Didn't fit, ideas, wouldn't, yeah. wouldn't have fat, fit on Heavy Steps.
So they were written around the same time.
Frame. Similar okay, time, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
The Trouble EP, it's called.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Exclusive news.
Yeah, everybody. No, it's coming out right away.
Heard it here first.
Yeah.
Well, in a couple weeks, technically.
Yeah, we did a video and shit, so probably by the time this comes out, we'll have a like a single with it.
We'll try to pair it along. Hell yeah. Side. Yeah, so we might rearrange some stuff, but yeah. Favorite thing, because you guys are always on fucking tour, it feels like, in the last couple of years. Favorite thing about tour? Outside of playing and fucking the people and all the typical answers, guys.
For
all the money.
for me,
there is money?
For me, I have a, like, a pro, like, I'm not, I don't have a family or anything like that, so I kind of stress on making plans, like, hey, you want to, like, tomorrow or the next day, but I have no problem making a plan next year.
Yeah.
I like just having my schedule and know what I'm doing every night, and I'm just there, and I'm in the tunnel, and that's...
Just along for the ride.
It works for me. Yeah. And I can see friends and people that I haven't seen in like a year or more every day.
Yeah, there's definitely benefits to it. Like, you know, doing being touring for the last, you know, 20 years, it's like I find parts of being on tour, like the schedule of it, like kind of like knowing, like, this is going to sound really dumb, but it's like, you know, you get up, get in the van, go to the venue, you do your sound check, you get a bite to eat, you come back, you hang out, play the show, hang out, and then do it all again. Mm. And it's like, you know, you get in the motion of doing, or the rhythm of doing that. And I find like a lot of times when I do get home from tour, I'll be super excited to get home. And it's like, I see my wife, I got my cats, I'm like stoked, loving life. And then like 3 days after I get home, I'm like
itching.
Huh. Now what the fuck do I do? And like, yeah. I kind of get like, I almost get like sad. You know what I mean? And then you're kind of like, cause although like every day on tour might not be the most productive, it's busy. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
You're so always
like,
doing something.
I almost don't know how to relax when I get home. Like, I almost feel guilty about being like, I'm going to watch fucking a whole season of 90 Day Fiancé today, you know?
I feel that hard. Not that show, but I feeling guilty about watching TV or something.
Yeah, so it's a weird thing to balance, but like, so, yeah, I guess roundabout answer to your question, what's my favorite part about being on tour is being busy and having, being full up every day.
Purpose.
Yeah.
Worst thing.
It's not too bad, man.
It's not too bad.
Not too bad.
But well, I guess yeah, because your personal situation is different. Because obviously, no family, no whatever outside of.
Dude, it's sick. I love it.
worst thing for me is when you're cornered into just having to eat bad food, like no matter what. And I know that you can Uber Eats now, or you could do whatever. But like sometimes you're at the mercy of like terrible food, and that. That's
like catering or just like
sometimes
on the road.
Sometimes catering, like, dude, some European catering is like the best shit you'll ever have, and then sometimes you're like, what in the actual fuck is this? And then North America, like, I just get tired of like, you go to a rest stop or something, and it's like there's Subway, Dunkin' Donuts, Taco Bell, fucking whatever, you know, it's like. It's gross after you eat too much, you know. So,
especially 20 years on the road.
We're supporting on this tour, and so we're playing at 8:20 every night. So I just have to really, really focus on. Like, I love eating at 8:20, a dinner,
right? But like in general, off tour, or in general.
Yeah, but now I'm like, okay, 4 o'clock, I gotta eat, so I have like 3 hours before we play.
Why do you? Is it because like you'll get too
jump high.
Hyped up and then maybe like vomit a little if you doesn't salt?
I wouldn't vomit.
Settle.
I just feel heavy or something settle. Like that. But I just had some, like, I'm eating wings every night.
Nice.
Dude, the food you had when
it
I came over
so
to get
salty.
You
I had to
so
leave it to come
fucked,
to this
dude.
Interview. Yeah.
Where were you getting wings from?
The next door of the venue.
Oh, like okay. Boneless. Yeah. Cool. Yeah,
wasn't that good.
It looked insane.
So when you're at home or whatever and you're getting bored, like, you haven't ever thought of, like, having a hobby outside?
I do. I mean, I do have hobbies. Like, I make it a point to, like, exercise every day. So, my wife gets up for work at 6, so I usually get up at 7. Try and get out, go to the gym.
Early for a band guy.
Yeah, no, but I find, like, if I do that, then I will, like, make the most of the day. Whether that's, like, coming home and working on music, working on, like, art or design, whatever, that kind of stuff.
You guys go to sleep at?
Me?
Usually in bed by 9, probably asleep by 10:30.
I wish. Dude, brain doesn't shut off, especially now with Lambgut. I'm like, I'm missing something. You know, I got to be glued to the internet or fucking something. If I want to be the first to post it, you know what I mean, for the traffic.
I love those hours. It's great. It's good for me. And also, like, Vancouver, like, and our friend circle, it's not, like, late. Like, he lives in Toronto. Toronto's, like, late night city. People are like, oh, it's fucking 11. Let's go out. And in Vancouver, we're like, oh, my God, it's almost 11. We should go to bed. Like, we should go home now. So
that's true. Have you asked me all the Lambgut questions you wanted to ask me?
Well, okay, well, hold on. What was I asking before this thing got on? So, you are new.
Newish.
How long?
We joined in 2018 for the podcast.
Nice.
But I've been visiting since, you know, fucking 2000. Right. Yeah, so.
Long
so, I was telling him, yeah, Lambgut is, like, a lot of us and Comeback Kids. Maybe just because it was, like, the news site for us growing up. So, like, when you're, like, loading your internet, like, if you just to make sure it works, Lambgut's the site.
Stu's told me the same thing when we were talking about it.
Yeah, it's pretty good because it's just a classic site. You know, it always works.
And it's reliable.
Not a lot of images. You know, text only. Loads quick. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Besides that, I don't know, man.
Have you ever gotten any, like, threats from anybody?
Personally?
Or just, like, Lambgut in general?
Oh, yeah. For sure. We've been... do I even want to say it? We've been contacted by, you know, authorities before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that comes hand in
hand. In the time that I've been at the head.
That probably comes hand in hand with, like, running a site that has an open forum, right? Like,
yeah, I guess. The forum's not really active, you know, because that's... Message boards in, like, 2023 are, like, you know...
Dude,
obsolete.
you still get like 200 comments on fucking
comments
posts.
Is different. I'm talking about the message board. The comments are definitely active for sure.
I didn't even. The distinction was.
Yeah, sorry. You said forum and it kind of threw me off of that. But yeah, I mean, and who hit us up? Like, governmental agencies for. They have questions about posts and stuff.
Sorry, say that again.
Governmental agencies and stuff, or like authorities or something like that.
Oh, we got some background noise.
The only problem is, you know, without a warrant or whatever, it's like. I'm not going out of my way to do all that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
Because it's, again, the bulk of whatever's going down in the comments section is all for goofs and for fun, in my opinion.
You know
what I mean? There are going to be, like, a fair 1% to 5% of the comments that are a little crazier than they should be. But again, you know what I mean?
Isn't that a weird thing, though? So a friend of mine made a documentary recently about music censorship.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Cover Your Ears. You should check it out if you have a chance. It's actually a really good
documentary. Someone's getting ice, so if you hear that, that's what that is.
I see.
But anyway, that just made me think. There's a part in that documentary where he's interviewing an artist, and apparently there's, like, references in the lyrics to, like, that could be, like, applied to, like, a crime that happened.
Yeah.
And this dude got, like, arrested for it and almost charged, you know? Like, he got off from it, but it was, like, it's just crazy that, like, if you... you know, put something out in the public that a government agency or something can be like, well, this is pretty interesting.
Yeah, they're a little weird, especially here. They're a little more probably like on shit. They got a lot of free time, I guess. But, like, yeah, I don't know, man. It's a staple for the website, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's something that everyone kind of knows about. You know, when I talk to anybody, it's like, oh, the comments. It's like, yeah, we get it.
Yeah.
I get it. The newer generation doesn't really understand that, you know? Yeah. So... they're the ones that are most vocal about it and having issues with it. And certain bands have issues with it, too. And, you know, it is what it is. But in my eyes, and I'm sure you guys probably may think the same, but there is way what Lambgut offers is more good than bad. If you want to say, like, the comment section is the bad part, that may be the only bad part in my eyes.
But we get some information about it. Like, I actually just found out today about Jay Weinberg. These guys have been talking about the band for 4 days.
Where have you been?
I'm just out to lunch on that. But just even, like, I don't know, it is fun. Like, yeah, like, you guys, like, posting about me getting robbed or whatever and stuff. Like, just some niche stories that probably people would like to hear about.
What's the goo joke? Where does that come from?
I was going to bring that up when we were talking about comments earlier because that's, like, ongoing jokes. There's so many that are, like, fresh new ones, like, you know, wallet and keys or stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
Like...
Goo has been just tearing up the charts.
Yeah, I don't know. Someone's got to have notifications on for that one because, like, every article. It's replaced, like, First. Remember how First was back in the day? Yeah, sure. So, I don't fucking know, dude. There are definitely some... We don't know exactly where it came from.
You don't know the exact origin?
No, right. It just started popping up, and people ask, and we're like, I don't know, dude. It's insane. And, like, I think what happened was I got annoyed. This was something that happened, like, right after we kind of took it over. And I got kind of annoyed with it because I didn't understand it. Or, you know, I was like, is this a bad thing or is this a good thing? And, you know, I'm a little nervous about how to take over Lambgoat and how it should be presented going forward. So I was like, I should probably, like, just filter that out. Because I don't know if it's, like, a person or something that happened that or
so
a term for...
you were, like, blocking Goo for
yeah,
the first little
so
bit?
Yeah, that probably didn't help it. You know what I mean?
Goose. So in case you don't know what we're talking about, basically, like, people in the comments just, like, say, like, there was news about Comeback Kid, somebody would be like, Goo Back Kid.
Yeah, or Comeback Goo or some shit.
Yeah, okay.
And that's just, like, people change the fucking
word. Is it
word
racist?
To Goo.
Yeah. See, I don't know. Dude, that's why I don't know. You know what I mean? We don't. Kind of could sound like it could be, you know? But I think it's just some dude, Mike Goo or something, and someone just ran with that.
Mike Goo. I like that. I want to meet Mike Goo, maybe.
I think we were talking about it internally like a couple months ago, and that's kind of what we figured out. But because people ask, like, even people that are like everyday users on the forum and stuff like that that I know offline, they're like, where did that come from? I'm like, I don't know, dude.
Imagine if you knew. Imagine you were the guy and you're just like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, I just start out because I'm the only one that's there when the news gets first posted. I'm just like, goo. Yeah, that'd be
gotcha.
Good. It's not a bad idea. I could maybe get some other kind of ongoing things. So it's like, we reviewed one of the new ones that won't go away for probably some time now is we reviewed Zulu's album, and you know, Elliot gave it a 9, or whomever Elliot reviewed it and gave it a 9. So like any other review that's posted that's not a 9, which a lot shouldn't really be a 9 on the Lambgoat scale, but these were new writers, so you know the scale's a little skewed, but this is shit. Zulu was a 9, or is that's like an ongoing thing.
Oh, they're always like that?
Yeah.
That's the drag?
Yeah, so like now if you go to the reviews, I'm sure on every review, Zulu got a 9, this is shit, or something like that. You know what I mean? Zulu's a great band. I'm not saying they shouldn't have got a 9, but I'm just saying on the Lambgoat scale of things,
totally,
9 is kind of like gold, like there's no 10s.
Gold tier, yeah.
What's the highest Lambgoat reviewed record? Like what's the highest review that it I mean, obviously, I guess, like, a bunch of records could have a 9.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many that I wouldn't even really have, that I had no part in.
Yeah, well,
I mean. So, like, Jane Doe was a 9. That I just recently know that because that just popped up.
Yeah.
Is there a 10?
Was that reviewed when it came out and it got a 9?
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah, in 2001. That's dope. If you go to the website, it says posted in, like, 2011 or 14, but the original date is, 2001.
I listened to a couple songs off that record the other day. And I can't, fuck, the track is escaping me now. It's like either 5 or 6, but there's this part with like these like super haunting vocals. And I remember like being scared of that part when that record came out, just being like, what the fuck is this?
A youngster.
Yeah. And then I was listening to it at the van the other day. I was like, oh, fuck. No,
trauma,
PTSD,
nostalgia. Speaking of youngsters, what made you guys get into, you know, bands and hardcore in general?
Living and my older brother showed me like Skate Punk and like NoFX, and you know,
it's wild how many people
like
come
the
from
Basket Case video and the classic story, you know, like just like Skate Punk, Canada loved that shit, Fat Records shit, and then from there, someone in high school showed me Earth Crisis, and then I was Straight Edge, and then you know,
Straight Edge and Religious all at the same
straight
time,
Straight Edge, Religious all at the same time, it's the perfect combo, and then
the perfect story.
And then just like, you know, just getting into that more and more, and I gravitated you know to the like some of the thug stuff, like the, you know,
rap,
the like Marauder, like
double
picking Helicopter always on the guitar, and just it's just great. I don't know, that's what, you know, that was the transition. It was all punk to a lot of the people that are into hardcore now came through nu metal, didn't they?
I did.
So I'm more through
a lot of younger kids come punk through nu metal.
I mean, I came from, there was punk in the beginning, and then that was very short-lived, and then I found nu metal. But also, I was from here, and Limp Bizkit's from here, so it was like, how was I not going to be into it?
For sure. Like, same thing. For me, you know, as a teenager, like, well, as a kid in Canada, we had Much Music, which is kind of like MTV. And they had shows like Power 30, which would play, like, metal videos, and The Wedge, which would play, like, kind of more alternative videos. And, like, The Wedge is probably where I first ever saw, like, a a Green Day music video or Doughboys Face to Face, No Use for a Name. So like those were bands that like I saw on the TV, and then I'd go to the record store, buy the record, and then you'd have like the thanks list in every record, and you see, you know, 200 bands listed there, and you'd go buy four of those records or whatever. So yeah, same thing, just like, you know, sort of more commercial or whatever. Punk got me into more underground punk, which got me into hardcore, which got me into, you know, metalcore, which got me into the Van.
Definitely.
Which got me on the GOAT.
Yeah, yeah. And
Comeback Kid's very octave core. I hate octaves now, but I guess I got to embrace the...
What is that supposed to mean?
Like octaves, you know what that is?
Yeah, yeah, I know what octaves are, but what is octave core?
It's the easiest melodic thing to do, so...
Comeback
Kid loves octaves. We are an octave core band, like, to my dismay, I guess.
It's a very, like, Fat Records thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember the first time I ever heard Wake the Dead, I was like, this is the best because it's, like, skate punk and hardcore on one record.
Yeah.
And I won't let that go. Every time we're, like, writing music, I'm like, what about this? He's like, I've snuck a few in, though.
Yeah.
So how does the writing process go for you guys?
This is how
you guys live, you know, you live apart. I don't know if you get together or if you just trade.
So the last time we wrote was during the pandemic, but whatever, we'll do it again. Stu sends demos, Jeremy sends demos, I have demos, whatever. So when you, if you get, so this is the new, the last couple albums. If you are the writer of the song, you become the boss of the song.
Oh, nice.
Song boss.
So if it's Stu's song, like if Jeremy is the,
he's octaves all day long.
He abuses this power like the most probably. He's like, I really don't really like that change that you made to that song.
He's more of a song dictator.
He's a dictator for sure. Yeah. So you have the song, either, you know, Stu or I or Jeremy or whatever will come in and kind of change some things around, maybe even change the whole structure of the song around, produce the song.
And DJ Khaled credits.
Whether it makes it or not, that's to be seen. But yeah, like if you wrote the song, it's your idea originally, you're the boss of the song.
Mm.
But everyone else can come in and like kind of do their thing on it.
How long has that been kind of the shtick for Comeback Kid and writing process?
Since more than me and just Jeremy wrote.
Yeah, so like when I started playing with the guys, it was like on the tail end of Symptoms and Cures, and then we went into writing Die Knowing, and it was kind of like some uncertainty of how that was going to work. So you know, I brought some ideas to the guys, and I think like one song idea I had made it on the record, and then I played like a little bit of guitar on that record, and then you know next time we wrote a record was a few years later. At that point, I'd been in the band for, you know, quite a few years. So then we were just kind of doing what Andrew said, where it's like, well, here's a bunch of different demo ideas, and then we get together in a room and like rock them out. And then over the pandemic, though, it was kind of nuts because everybody's at home, you got a lot of time. So like I was literally sending Andrew like
20 Stu demos,
30 fucking songs or something insane, you know. So by the time like we got to the to a space where we were all together playing, it was like, well, I got 28 ideas. Andrew's like, I got 2, 3, 4, you know, so it was like...
They're solid, Andrew. They're solid
ideas,
yeah.
Though.
So, but yeah, I mean, at this point, it's collaborative for sure.
Cool. And is that something... I'm sorry to interrupt. We finish.
No.
Okay. Is that something as a long-standing member that you... Is there a way that... Or is there any noticeable difference to you as far as, like, how either A, Comeback Kid sounds now, currently, or how the process has gone on?
Yeah, we're a little bit more of a metallic band, I guess, now. Like, someone said in a podcast about us, we're hardcore with a capital H, you know, type band. Maybe before, where it was more, I don't know.
Lowercase H,
yeah. That's funny. But
so
yeah.
where does that influence come from, then?
Well, we're just, like,
everybody
we're just
or?
More into, like, heavier shit, and we're always playing, like, with, like, metal bands and shit, like, so. I would say that we're, you know, I even do a bit on stage, like, oh, you... We should go more metal now, or like, we're gonna go more punk now. But like, it's just, that's the best thing about punk of Comeback Kid. Like, we are unapologetically and like unashamed. Like, we're hardcore down the middle. We're gonna go punk. We're gonna go like metal, and like that's the cool about it. All the songs sound different. You're not gonna put on a record and say like, oh man, like it all sounds the same at all.
Yeah,
I think
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. And where are we at? Sorry, what's the fucking timeline on it? Okay, one last question then before we wrap up and we'll head to Tiger. You guys got a lot in the discography, and I want the honest answer. Favorite tracks to play, and on the opposite end of that, worst tracks you hate to play live?
Andrew can go first.
Damn, we don't really play any songs we don't like to play live because we don't.
Maybe it's like a very song long that set. The crowd always is yelling, and you're like, "Oh yeah, we'll get to that. Freebird is coming up, I promise."
Damn. I like different songs for different reasons, but I really love playing them all.
Nice.
Do you hate playing the ones you weren't a part of, Stu?
No, absolutely not. I mean, like some of my favorite songs are on Wake the Dead. False Idols is probably like my favorite comeback hit song of all time.
Cool.
And you know, we play that pretty much every night.
The eternal opener.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever played a show that we didn't play that. I don't think we've ever played a show that we didn't play Wake the Dead. I don't think we've ever played a show that we didn't play All in a Year.
We try to find a better opener than False Idols Fall, but there it is. Always comes back to that.
Yeah, well, it's the opening of that similar album. Which, yeah, exactly. And I'm going to tack on one more question.
Yeah.
And this is probably directed towards you because Stu was not in the band at the time. Could you tell when Wake the Dead came out that something was going to happen? Like, did you know it was going to be one of those records? Because it's turned into that.
It felt good. And I remember Bill Stevenson like went out of his way to try to get us to record that with him. We did it in 2 weeks with him. Bill Stevenson is from Descendants and Black Flag and just the absolute goat from the Blasting Room. So we were going to do it with Jim. Fuck, what the fuck is his name? The guy who did the Blood for Blood records and American Nightmare. Jim, can't remember his last name. We were all booked and everything with him, and then we met Bill Stevenson and he gave us a like a compilation CD of like everything he'd done that's like more, and you know, there's like some punk stuff, maybe some heavier ska band that maybe like Less Than Jake or something. They had a hardcore song or some shit. I'm like, okay, you can do this.
So how was that like?
And then this legend convinced us to record with him, and then we did it with him, and it just felt like very nice and good. I don't know.
So how was the other? How was the other producer? How did he take the word about not being able to do the record?
I can't remember. You know, the internet wasn't very special at that
time.
Yeah,
it was pretty day one. He didn't comment on the post.
I was going to say, you might be able to find it on the...
Well, yeah, the weird thing is...
No, this guy's a legend. I would love to work with him. He did, like, Dropkick. Like, he's a Boston guy. Like, imagine if we would have done the record with him.
Imagine. It's crazy. Imagine. I wonder if it would have the same impact. Who knows?
Even, like, the harmonies on Wake the Dead and shit, like Scott Wade, our old singer, he was like, he didn't want it. Like, he did not want the singing stuff.
Yeah. And now
just
look.
Trust me, man. Trust me.
Now look, yeah.
He's still shaking his head when he comes to see us live. He's like, I would have done it different.
Also, you formed a relationship with Bill Stevenson and went on to make the best comeback hit record broadcasting. Right.
Worst
after that.
Comeback hit record ever.
Is that what you think?
We don't play one song from that shit.
I think it's the best record.
Really?
Yeah, for real.
So, okay, yes, you're no bullshit. That's the best record. What's the best record for comeback hit in your eyes?
Heavy Steps.
Is that the... I have to say that?
I don't know. It's hard to say.
Label tell you to say that?
Yeah, yeah. But broadcasting, no. We don't play anything from that record. That is my... When I listen to it, I'm like, what is this song structure? Like,
I'm glad
happening?
You said it, because like, I don't listen to it that often either. But I mean, now I'm going to, because it's your favorite, so I'm going to listen to it more.
For sure, there's like... Even like the first time I listened to the record, I would be like, why did they not repeat this part? Or like, why is this not the chorus or something? But I will say it's got like... I think it's got some of the coolest guitar work that Comeback Kid ever did. I think it's got some of the just coolest ideas, like song-wise, that the band's done. It's got some of the like punchiest breakdowns. Like,
Yeah, maybe Scott like reeled us in a little bit before that. Like, as far as the riffs go, like maybe or like the metal kind of stuff. For like Scott, the old singer, he'd be like maybe kind of produce us a little to bring it back a little, simplify things. And so when he was gone, we're like. Yeah, you know, like playing, like, let's go as fast as we can and like do all these little like you know like triple, 20 parts to a song or whatever you know what I mean and I felt good. After that we changed course a little bit song structure wise but yeah
next record you use a Telecaster, no big deal.
that'll happen every now and then.
Hey, but that record rocks too.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not saying Knowing is not a great album. It's just when it comes down to it, like, I'm not listening to songs off of that as much. And when you said that, I'm like, oh, man, that makes sense, I guess, to me. But now I'm going to have to reinvest my time in it.
But, yeah, broadcasting is the best record for sure.
I mean, I'm going to say Wake the Dead, but also I dig Symptoms and Cures, too. I dig a lot of shit on
Great
Symptoms,
record.
Too.
We'll be doing something special for Wake the Dead 2025, for sure.
Nice. So. We'll cut it here, because we got to go to Sabonis' place. Tiger, and then thank you very much, Stu and Andrew, for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
Make sure you check the comments out.
Thanks for having us.
Hell yeah. Goo.
Lamb goo.
Hey, this is Steve Choi, host of the Musicians Guild podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. Within the four walls of the Musicians Guild, we'll be discussing the habits, idiosyncrasies, experiences, and general psychology of my friends and peers all involved with music in various capacities. Listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com.